the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the Down in the Dumps podcast, the I Need to Be Consoled podcast, the Depression Session podcast.
A depression that can only be overcome by winning a flag.
There's a couple other things that might help.
Okay, good. But football related, winning a flag.
Supermodels.
Right.
No, Kingy, that's not the case. Look, do you know what?
What?
I've got more angry about the result in the
days that have passed. Mm. Yeah, rather than on. Yeah, we were probably a bit restrained on Saturday.
Well, it was like what just happened?
Caught off guard a little bit.
Absolutely, went from being 1 point in front to 11 goals down in the blink of an eye, and it was you just sort of couldn't get your head around instantly what had happened. You know, the old question of has it sunk in? Well, straight after the game, it was like, did we just lose by 8 goals and the margin actually flattered us?
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
And led by a point, though, midway through the third quarter.
And we're within that margin with about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, weren't we? Did they kick three goals late?
From about the 23rd minute mark, I think, yeah, Brisbane led by a point and they kicked three in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you felt the game was over at three-quarter time.
Oh, you could just sense the momentum, the huge momentum shifts. And look, I know we're going to get canned here for probably being negative, who I am anyway, but
there was a couple of things that baffled us.
Well, not so much pre-game. I mean, we went in good form. I just think that as I've thought about it, like I said, the next day I was a bit flat. And then I took Penrith in a multi, and they were 14 love up and zip up and lost. I had it going for quite
a mozza.
Yeah. And I thought, this is extraordinary. 14 zip. Yeah, this is easy. And then.
Yeah, Brisbane and Brisbane's a different kettle of fish.
14 zip, and they got. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Cats. So. You are not going to get a better opportunity than the one that was presented than Geelong to win the premiership.
They got beaten by a better side, Benny.
They did. Well, hang on. What happened 3 weeks ago then?
Yeah, but that can happen.
Yeah.
05 and 06.
But they're not a better side. They beat them by seven goals.
But you go back to 05 and 06. Eagles beat Sydney in the first week of the finals. Swans won the flag.
By a poofteenth.
Yeah.
Not 11 goals.
No, but they still won.
Yeah, but it was close.
This was close for 2.5.
So you're telling me that you're not surprised that Brisbane won by Brisbane went from a point down to 11 goals up in the space of 20 minutes.
No, that surprised me. But the fact that Brisbane won hasn't surprised me.
I'm not staggered that they won. I'm staggered in the manner and the fashion in which Geelong ran the white flag up the pole.
Yeah, from after the Blitzarves goal. What did they kick? So it got back to 21 points.
Yeah.
And then it got out to 64.
64, 11 goals.
They kicked eight minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not great.
No.
But just the Geelong, they played themselves in a position. They'd beaten that opposition comprehensively 3 weeks ago. They had no injuries bar one. They had a lot of players in form. And they absolutely soiled the bed.
Mm.
They soiled the bed from top to bottom.
Yep.
From selection.
Yep.
To coaching, to playing.
Yep.
All three shit the bed.
Yep.
And it's, you know, we...
What of coaching, though, is that this just at selection?
Just being a smart ass. Yeah. So Mullen completely obliterated McCluggage.
Hmm.
Where do you reckon Mullen started the game?
On the bench.
Yep. So at about the 20-minute mark of the first quarter, I'm not saying any of these things perhaps change the result, but this is just being a smart ass. 20 minutes into the first quarter, McCluggage, I reckon it was about 20, McCluggage gets the ball on the wing and runs away, kicks it 50 metres. I forget who he kicked it. It might have been Lohman, who marks 25 metres out and kicks a goal.
Yep.
So I look down to see where Mullen is. You know where Mullen is?
On the bench.
Yeah. When they tagged him the first time, he came on and off with McCluggage.
Yeah.
He went everywhere with him.
Yep.
Just being a... Why would you do that? For what reason would you not just say we are doing this again?
Well, that's only a question Chris Scott can answer.
And he won't.
No.
We've got 20 minutes of the sub trying to determine a bloke has broken his arm. Hang on. I know he's a gun, but he's broken his arm. You've got a fit player there. Yeah. And then after the game, you're whining about the sub rule, which the rule is designed so that you don't have to be a player down.
Yeah.
What was his message after the – what was he trying to tell us after the game about that?
Well, the message was that they were trying to work out the severity of the break.
Oh, come on. You've got to have a better medical staff than that if they can't wear the bloke's arms broken straight off.
But it's the severity of it. You can have just a crack in it.
Well, clearly the amount of pain he was in would have suggested to me, and I'm only Dr. Google, that it's pretty well broken.
Dr. Bombay.
Yes. So they got that.
I can't defend that.
And then the coach after the game says, I don't want this to sound like sour grapes.
Well, the sub's gone today.
Yeah.
And you'll be very happy, Benny.
And the bounce is gone.
The bounce is
Thank
gone.
Thank God. So clubs will be actually sort of set up in a fashion that gives them an opportunity rather than the ball bouncing over there and it just make it up as you go. Mm. So I'm happy about that. I've been advocating that.
Yes.
So I don't understand why we did that.
Yeah, Martin had to be... Well, I think the whole idea was that they probably were trying to get a little bit of Stanley out of the game because everybody realised that they didn't need to go in with Stanley.
No.
In the end.
Absolutely. They reacted to what Brisbane did by bringing in McInerney.
Yeah.
They had to go with what had won them the two previous finals. If McInerney was going to beat us as a forward, my ass was...
Yeah.
Was not going to be pointing to the ground.
Yeah.
He was never going to go forward and beat you. You had De Koning to play on him. When he went into the ruck, put De Koning in the ruck.
Yep.
So we've got Stanley running around like a spare dick. He was useless. And we've got him for another year, which is fantastic. He's only 400 years old. And you shouldn't have played him in a final. And they won two finals without him. Mm. And you've got him on for another year. Mm. Anyway, that's the debate for another day. So there's just little things with that. So you had no option, but and then Blitzarves. What position was Blitzarves playing?
Well, he wasn't. Yeah,
he was in form in a position. You take him out of that position, and then you go, "Oh, he's versatile." Yeah, okay, perhaps he is. But he was an absolute. He was in witness protection in the grand final.
And he was brilliant in the qualifying and prelim finals.
Absolutely. Can you explain to me why Jai Clark suddenly became a halfback?
Because that's where he's been running in the VFL.
Little bit at AFL level, not for me.
No, but he ran off halfback in the prelim as well when he came on.
Yeah, he did. But you've got him in a grand final against the likes of Rayner, Bailey.
So where you playing?
McCluggy. Well, I would have played him as the sub.
Yep.
And I wouldn't have had Stanley in, and I would have had Buse in.
Yep. And Martin
as a defender.
And Martin's
Buse partner. To take over the role of Stewart.
Yep.
Buse can be attacking when he needs to be, but he's a defender. He can defend. Clark's not a defender. I'm not having a go at Jai Clark. I think he did.
He was pretty admirable, actually.
He did okay. He did okay. Playing halfback at his size is not his go at 182.
Yep.
It's not his go. He did a little bit of VFL level. He's come into the club as a midfielder, played all his juniors as a midfielder, spent all his early time at Geelong as a midfielder.
Yep.
And then suddenly, in the two biggest games of the year, we got him playing halfback.
Yeah. Well, they had to in the prelim.
Yeah.
By necessity.
But that game was over when he came on.
Against the prelim.
Oh, Stewart.
Yeah, he came on in first quarter.
And didn't, but he was okay.
So
they wheel that out again. Hmm. Yeah, but they don't wheel out the Mullen on McCluggage again.
No. Yeah, that I don't know.
It's just being a smart ass is what it is. And it's bitten him on the ass. And then.
But why the phrase.
Why wasn't Buse playing?
But why the phrase smart ass?
Just trying to be, you know, trying to be sort of smart ass. Why not just go with what's worked? Is there anything wrong with that?
But that's not being a smart ass.
It's trying to overthink things. How many times?
Okay, that's overthinking things. But it's not being a smart ass.
Well, it's they're alike.
I'll take umbrage.
No, they're alike. They're alike.
No.
It's been half a smart ass with you. We've seen it before so many times in finals.
So you think he's
when we left Stanley out of the finals because it was going to rain?
Yeah, and it didn't rain.
We let Dan Menzel out of the final where we couldn't kick a goal. We put...
but I don't think it's being a smart
Lockie up. Henderson up forward when he hadn't played up forward all year. And he actually didn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
It's half a smarter. I know more than everybody else.
When Chris Scott doesn't go on K-Rock again for a heck of a long time.
Well, I just think it's got a smart-ass element to it. And it's blown up. It is backfired. Big time. And then to get on and say, I don't want this to sound like sour grapes, but the sub rule, mate.
Yeah, that what
you got a lot more problems than the sub rule.
Even with that caveat, it didn't come across.
Well, you knew it was the first thing it was going to sound like sour grapes. You didn't have to. You didn't have to spell it out for us.
Anybody who puts a caveat on something like that,
I just felt that we got it completely wrong from start to finish, and the hindsight will is helps with that
Yes, it does. Yeah, yeah.
But there was we reacted to I reckon what Brisbane were doing, and we reacted in the wrong way. I just felt there was an opportunity to play. We've asked this question 1,000 times. What is it about Jed Buse that they don't like?
No, that I don't know.
What would you think it could be?
No, I can't put my finger on it. I think Busey has all the tools to be the ideal hybrid defender who can do a lockdown job but also can provide you with some good run.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
And he can do either on any given day.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you need him to lock down, you say we prefer you to lock down today.
Yep.
Or if you say, look, play a bit more free range, we like to use your speed off the back, he can do that.
Yep.
And he put his hand up, he rang the coach and said, put me in
mid-season.
In the middle of the year when Stewart was out, I think.
Yeah.
And was someone else out? Humphreys out as well?
Humphreys missed
a concussion.
He missed a game with concussion.
Was that when Stewart was out as well in the same time?
Around that era.
So they were short in defence. He put his hand up and said, I can be and he actually played quite well.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't played more footy. He's had some injuries, admittedly. I think the injury at the start of the year hurt him because I still think he was in Geelong's best 23 at the start of the year when he did the damage with the finger.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt, but, okay, whose spot was he taking?
Well, Stewart.
Stewart in here, but with a full strength back line, whose spot's he taking?
Well, that's a debate for another day, and maybe he's not. Mm. But when you lose Stewart...
Yeah, he was the...
And then you look at the opposition and what the opposition have got...
Yeah, he was the
Their idea. Tall options weren't the threat.
No.
Their mid-size options were threat.
And it was Cameron, it was
And you
Bailey.
Didn't want to have players like, perhaps Humphreys, Zach Guthrie, playing... really tight lockdown roles, that's probably not their
go. Well, Zach Guthrie had to be the Tom Stewart.
Yeah. Well, he did, but he might have been able to do it a whole lot better if he had Buse there locking
down.
Correct,
that's what I mean, yeah.
But we didn't put Buse in, and we've got Jai Clark, who's not really a defender. Yeah. I'm not buying that he played there for two
games. And the other thing is, too, people could say, well, Buse hadn't played for a while. But Buse played in the last game against Richmond.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and that was when Stanley last played as well.
Which is what I thought was a good option to do that, to have him ready to go in the event that he was needed. And I reckon he was needed on Saturday. Because the players who are always going to cause... If you went into that game...
Yeah, Gallup and...
If you thought Gallup, McInerney and Logan Morris, with Jack Henry on Logan Morris, you'd back that in as a good matchup for the Cats.
Yep.
If you thought that Gallup and McInerney were going to kick Brisbane to a winning score, or you got rocks in your head.
Yeah.
Bailey, Cameron, Rayner, Lohman...
Archie.
They were the ones who were going to cause you all the problems.
Yep.
And we were short.
Yep.
We were short. So... It was absolutely horrendous. And then from a playing perspective, look, these days can happen. The Cats had, I reckon they had three, four good players for the day. I thought Humphreys actually played quite well.
That was probably his best game for a while.
He probably had a few goals kicked on him, but with the weight of ball at the end, I'm not surprised. I actually thought because he'd had an indifferent back half of the year.
Yep.
I thought he was good, actually. I thought he played quite well. I thought Connor O'Sullivan played really well for a young fella. He made one mistake, but...
You see the poor bugger. Yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I thought he was good. I thought Jack Henry was really good on Morris.
Yep.
And you'd have to give it to him. I know he kicked a couple of goals in junk time, but, I mean, Dempsey, he still ended up kicking four goals.
Yep.
He didn't have a massive influence when the game was...
Alive.
...really hot.
Yep.
But, I mean, I suppose you've ended up with, 19 or so possessions and you've kicked four.
Yeah,
you've done a
four
role.
Out of 11.
The guys, I'm just going through the list here. Tommy Atkins didn't have a great day.
No.
Mark Blitzov's had an absolute howler.
So Atkins didn't take a mark.
No.
I mean
he doesn't use
it. He sometimes provides that little bailout short kick and then... Gets a bit on the move.
He did have 10 clearances, but he didn't it wasn't really impactful.
That clearance number.
The six tackles, yeah. Blitzarves unfortunately had an absolute shocker. Jack Bowes, I don't know about Jack Bowes. I don't know what he really offers. He's just sort of he had 16 possessions. I can't remember one of them. Hmm. He kicked a goal. Jeremy Cameron unfortunately broke his arm, but when he was fully fit, was having next to no influence. Jai Clark, look, he battled okay, young player playing out of position. Brad Close had a bad day.
Yep.
Patrick Dangerfield had an absolute stinker. Sam De Koning, well, should have been in the ruck in parts. He didn't have the same sort of influence that he had in the previous finals. Yep. We mentioned Dempsey. Zach Guthrie had a quiet day for him.
Yep.
He had his hands full, wasn't rebounding at all. Jack Henry, we mentioned him, he was good. I thought Max Holmes was okay. He's kicking.
He tried to create.
He did. His kicking let him down.
The thing that didn't help him with a couple of those kicks, when Neil pointed out in the call, Shannon Neil wanted it over the back too much.
Little bit, but there was a couple of times when he had room over the back and he munged one.
Yeah, but there was a couple, the one that, obviously it was at home, so the one that sticks out of Dangerfield when he put out in the full at the punt road end, that was because Neil instead of hitting up, he went back, and then Dangerfield had to try and kick the cover off it.
Possibly. I mean, there was one where Holmes had it on the wing.
Oh, and he kicked it.
Neil had 5 metres on Andrews. Yeah. He just had to kick it over his head. Yeah. He kicked an absolute mung.
Yeah.
And
but he's not a great kick.
No, he's not. He tries to kick it too hard. Yeah. He had 33 possessions, so you couldn't question his work rate. But he's had
9 inside 50s, 5 clearances, 12 contested possessions.
I don't know what his effective disposals were. I reckon it was only half of the 33, though.
Yeah, would have thought.
Lawson Humphreys, you mentioned him. He was good. Sean Manor had a bad day.
Yeah.
Had absolutely next to no influence. Grind Myers had a bad day. Next to no influence. O'Sheen Mullen, well, he once he's not tagging.
Yep.
If he's not tagging successfully, he might as well just
kick that goal early. And
well, if his tag isn't working, that's the problem with Mullen now.
He's got to be a run with player. He's got to have a
job. But when that's not working, he's an absolute liability because he doesn't touch the ball. He had 5 possessions.
Yep.
Shannon Neal, well, he's just bunny. He's the bunny of Harris Andrews. He does have a few bunnies. Mark O'Connor probably battled okay against Rayner.
Rayner didn't have a not till late when the game had
He's probably stuck to the task. Bailey Smith, I know 29 possessions, but was pretty quiet.
Yeah.
He only had, I think.
It wasn't damaging.
He only had, he laid 4 tackles, was it?
Yep.
How many clearances did Bailey Smith have?
He had 4 clearances.
Yeah, so not much happening there.
Atkins had 10 clearances.
Oh, I just mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Reece Stanley was he was in witness protection, Reece Stanley. And the other one who had a bad day was Tyson Stengel.
Yep.
So we can list 5 blokes there I think did okay.
Yep, and the other 17 or 18.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
To have bad days.
Yeah.
And that was my hope, Kingy, at sort of halfway through or even at half time and then early in the third quarter. I'm looking down thinking all these players have struggled.
And we're only a point down.
Well, we're a point in front.
Or point up, yeah.
Thinking there's so many of these players who have really not got into the game at all. So, and we're actually in front. So this is the game wasn't really on our terms. I thought they're battling here against the tide and they're holding up and they're actually in front. Mm. And I look down and 75% of the team have done not much.
Yep.
And then that just, the Brisbane's midfield. We spoke about it in the lead up to the qualifying final. My biggest fear was that Brisbane's midfield is so deep. Geelong just don't have that depth.
No.
And for whatever reason, we were able to overcome it in that qualifying final. I mean, McCluggage did nothing. You know, Rayner was well held. I know he kicked 3, but 2 of them were
gifted.
Yeah. Geelong's matchups worked. Charlie Cameron had a shocker. Blitzarves was dominant in the ruck. They had winners everywhere. I mean, Dangerfield played reasonably well in that game. Manor played well.
Yep.
They had winners all over the place. But the midfield was always probably going to be the thing. And it reminded me of the Cats, even Richmond's success, West Coast. If you've got a really, really good midfield, like a really dominant midfield, you can paper over cracks at either end. And I reckon there's cracks at either end for Brisbane. I mean, they've won a premiership with Morris, Gallop and McInerney as their key forwards. And they've only got one key defender. Yep. It's Harris Andrews.
Yep.
I mean, Lester and Gardner are battlers at best.
Yeah.
Absolute battlers. But they can overcome it because their weight of midfield ball and their class in the midfield and the depth and the versatility in the midfield is off the charts. And Geelong were were never going to be able to, well, not never, but they, once that started to take hold, geez, Geelong wilted really, really quickly.
Yep. So we look ahead to 2026, or trade period for a start. So it looks like, for all intents and purposes, Warple is coming.
He hasn't mentioned, have Hawthorn had their best and fairest?
Tonight, I reckon.
So he probably waits till after that.
Yep. Marshall, we think. Charlie Curnow.
They can't get both.
According to reports, has said that Geelong is his preferred destination.
Yeah, well, I heard that on grand final day, somebody in the know.
Well, they can get both of them. It's just what they're willing to give up.
Well, that's right. So let's be realistic.
Charlie Curnow's 29, remember? Yeah,
he's a very good player.
But he's been spasmodic.
In a good team, he'd be very good.
Yeah.
The service from Carlton is not exactly silver.
No.
It's more your sort of...
But Geelong's not... Mauve. Geelong's not elite in the midfield.
He's going to get a lot more chances.
Yeah, but the delivery's not, you know...
Oh.
But Max Holmes?
Oh,
Atkins? Smith,
Bailey,
yes.
Bailey Smith, yeah. Oh, I just
Warple's not
an elite.
You get
more
ball.
Opportunities, though. Clearly, his head's out of the game at Carlton.
Yeah.
I think if you get Charlie Curnow with his head back in the game...
Oh, he really wants to be...
He's won two Coleman medals. Yeah.
He really wants here because he's got the businesses. He's from here, as we know. He's got his business down here with his brother.
Yep.
Got the day spa. So, look, if the stars align...
Have you ever been pampered?
Have you ever been tethered, Ben?
Yes. I've been tethered whilst I'm being pampered. But, wasn't really pampering. He was more sort of...
Right, yeah, move on.
What?
No, move on. So that's all got to play out. The Cats still haven't announced their delistings.
What was the name of that place in Melbourne? The Hellfire Club.
Ben.
Have you ever go to one of those?
Ben, I don't have time. Can you keep it on the straight and narrow today?
No.
I've got dinner at my parents' tonight.
I did go once to the Hellfire Club. But I don't know if it still goes.
I have no idea.
Anyway, it was quite interesting.
Yes. Okay.
Because
no
things go on there, King.
Yes. Yeah, that's good, Ben. Anyway, 21-51, taking a mental note.
Fireball.
Right. Anyway, so Geelong haven't made... So we know that Stanley and Nevitt have re-signed for a year.
Yeah. Oh, and do you know who I saw there when I went to the Hellfire Club?
Who?
You know who he is. Andrew Kinky Farnham.
No, you didn't.
Armageddon.
He's
my cue that he'd had enough.
Yes. Good. Anyway, yes. Can I talk about who's out of contract?
Armageddon.
Yes. Cam Guthrie. Yeah.
Well, he's not coming back, is he?
Well, we don't know. But you would have thought we would know by now, so he gets a send-off at the Kaji.
When's that?
Tomorrow night. Unless something's being announced.
I find it extraordinary if they kept him on. I'm not disparaging to Cam Guthrie, but 3 years of being injured at 33, I mean, that would be, I don't know, that would seem extraordinary to me to get him back for another year, but I don't know, they got Stanley back. Mm.
So Closey decision, Ollie Wiltshire.
Closey out of contract, is he?
Yes. Yeah, and he has to be elevated to the senior list.
Oh, sorry, Ted Closey.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking about...
Oh, you've gone into Reg mode, because whenever I say Closey...
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Brad.
No.
Right. Okay, Ted, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'd be wanting to keep him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wiltshire, waiting for...
Yeah, you can keep him, yeah. You can keep him down at Boneheads.
Rechko, Ivicic, Pike as rookies.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them.
So they've all got
good. Rechko, Ivicic and Pike.
Sounds like my law firm.
Sounds like a sort of a demolition company, doesn't it?
So they've all got to be decided on. Now, what did you make of Mad Monday? We probably need to touch on it.
Well, I didn't see much of it. Just going back to the trades.
Yeah.
So let's be realistic. I mean, if Geelong are to get the Curnow and Marshall.
Well, Warple comes as a...
Yeah, he comes for nothing.
Yep.
Just a
compensation.
Yes.
Yep.
So if they are to get Curnow and Marshall, what's Geelong's first pick going to be, 20 or something?
Well, you would think by the time... So right now it sits at 17.
Yeah, which will get dragged out.
Yeah, so it'll push... It'll have a 2 in front of it.
So
I think that gets it done for Marshall, first round pick.
Yeah. Yep.
Then it's Curnow, and Curnow will have to be future and a player, I reckon.
Who? So okay, I was getting to that. Who would you think if it was future first round pick?
Yep.
And a player.
They're asking for Connor O'Sullivan.
Are they?
Yep.
Carlton.
No, that's who I'd be asking for.
Right. Well, we're not giving him up.
No.
I'm not giving up to get Kerno. I'm prepared to give up some players to get Kerno, but I'm not giving Connor O'Sullivan up. We don't have anything else beyond Connor O'Sullivan.
If I was Carlton...
Who would you, as a Cat fan, who would you be happy to give up?
That played on the weekend?
Well, anyone. Anyone on the list.
Oh, well, you George Stevens.
As if you're going to give up George Stevens, you may as well... I'm being realistic.
Yeah, well, but Carlton aren't taking George Stevens.
No, no.
You're not taking a one-pace midfielder.
Yeah. So the question would be, who realistically would you give up to get Kerno on top of a future first-round pick? Who'd be the player you think would get the deal done and you'd be happy as a... Well, not happy, but reluctantly, but let them go and think, okay, we can perhaps cover him.
Jai Clark.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'd be happy for that. I don't know that Carlton would jump at that.
Brad Close.
Yes, I'd be happy for Brad Close. Brad Close and Jai Clark and our future first-round draft pick for Kerno.
Yep.
I'd be
wanting a future second back. Two players and a future first for a player that's 29.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy with that. We'll get a second round back.
Yep.
And Carlton will be shit, so it'll be pretty high. It'll be about where Geelong will be anyway.
Yeah, correct.
Do you know what I'd consider? I would consider giving up.
Would you give up Ollie Henry?
Geez, that would be harsh on me, Kingy. Dangerfield's got 1 year left, maybe. Or 1 year, I would have thought.
He's not playing at 37.
Jack Martin is he? What's he doing? Is he contracted?
He's got a 2 year deal.
Yeah, so he's 1 year left probably as well.
So you're not giving up Atkins. You're not giving up Blitzars at his age.
No, Henry would be on the table. I wouldn't. Just personally, I wouldn't be difficult because I like Ollie Henry. I think he's got plenty of upside. This year was a shocking year for him. Yeah. Every player experiences that.
But okay, here's one for you. Cam Guthrie's gone. Does that go? Might be able to get a tickle somewhere back into his career. 27. Probably still got 4 years left.
Yeah, yeah. The way he plays, I would have thought five.
Yep.
32, 33.
Yep.
For Zach Guthrie. I wouldn't want to be losing him. Stewart's older.
Yeah, no.
Buse is going. Yeah. You know, you've got, Jack Henry's only relatively young. Collar Jasny's on the older scale there.
Yeah, 30.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. The player I would offer is Sam De Koning.
Yep. Go and play. Well, not to go and play with his brother.
Go back to be the De Koning, so they don't miss a De Koning. Okay. Look, I'm not.
Sam De Koning.
I'm not pushing him out the door. I'm not desperate for him to go. But I think Connor O'Sullivan showed this year. I think he's going to be a far better player than Sam De Koning.
But is he always going to be a defender?
Well, I think we need him in defence right now. We need to build
right now. But down the track,
well, where would you be like thinking play him as a wingman or something?
Yeah.
Well. I think when you're built like he is, the way I see him play the game and the way he plays it as a defender, I don't know you'd want to be rushing to push him up the ground.
Yep.
He's a very, very good defender who has a really good balance at this stage. He gets it wrong every now and then, they all do, but he has a great balance of attack and defence. He marks the ball. He's got a great ability. When do I leave my man? When do I stay with my man? He's got the ability to play on slightly different body shapes, I reckon. I reckon he is a pillar of your defence for the next 12 to 13 years. So my point would be that De Koning is a good player.
Yep.
I'm not saying he's not, and I'm not trying to push him out the door because I want to move him on.
He'll be 25 by the time the next season starts.
Yep, so he should be entering the next prime for the next 7 or 8 years, you would have thought, Sam De Koning. But Brisbane showed on the weekend, if you've got a strong enough midfield, you don't need a heap of key defenders.
No.
They have one. So we've got one now who's going to be a better player. Do you think I'm right in saying that Connor O'Sullivan, when their careers are over, will be an infinitely better player than Sam De Koning?
Not infinitely, but I think he'll have a better career.
Yes, so we've got that. We've got Jack Henry at, what, 27?
Just turned.
Yep, so wheelhouse of his best footy for the next 4 or 5 years. You've got Stewart with a couple of years left. You've got Zach Guthrie in the wheelhouse of his best footy. You've got Lawson Humphreys as a young defender. I think you can always, You can always put a player back like a Max Holmes to play across
half back.
So I think they're pretty set in defence. You've got Collar Jasny to come back and play another year or two as a tallish.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so you've got the options down back. De Koning is one that, yes, he's nice to have, but if you're thinking of getting in a Kerno and there's a realistic, you've got to offer up something that's realistic, then Sam De Koning is one I think that we could perhaps cover.
Yep.
If I mean, he's got to want to go.
Because a future first, I don't think, gets it done.
No, I wouldn't have thought either. Because the Blues will
go, well, you guys are always going to be thereabouts. That future first could always land in the 20s.
Yep. I agree. And I just think that you have to try and fashion it that it's a player that you think you can cover.
Yep.
And I reckon Koning, then we need to draft a key defender and look to start to build from there if that happens. The thing is, though, I mean, the way this rules work is that if he says he doesn't want to go, which he's most likely to, he doesn't have to go anywhere, which he won't. He'll want to stay in here because he loves surfing. And don't think that I'm trying to get rid of Sam De Koning. I'm just offering up
a
realistic expectation of what Carlton might want that would get the deal done.
Yeah, there was the Mad Monday stuff. Look, it's been done in the media. What they did outside the wharf shed is fine. It's when Bailey Smith decided to put stuff on his phone that wasn't ideal, and that's why
his phone
got taken off him. And
taken off him, didn't
he? Yeah, the captain took it off him.
Did he get confiscated?
Yeah, he got confiscated.
What was he putting up?
Well, one of the photos was homophobic.
Right.
In terms of what he wrote on it. So, yeah. Right. Yeah, it wasn't.
Oh, I did see some furor. I didn't see the photo. Yeah.
Well, put it this way, the AFL have also said that's not ideal.
Have they given the please explain?
No, they're letting Geelong deal with it in-house, and Geelong are dealing with it. We are waiting for a statement.
What do you think
that
they would be doing?
Oh, I don't know. What a
surprise. Bailey Smith's being a bit of a dickhead.
So nothing.
Who would have thought, King?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
So I have tried to get in touch with the Cats, but alas.
You got nothing.
Radio silence, Ben.
You got donuts.
Donuts.
All right.
Donuts. Anyway.
Well, Cats, like the Cats gave on Saturday.
Yes.
Donuts.
Questions?
Yeah.
On the Curse Like Cat Attack podcast. Andrew Daly.
Oh, no.
Boys, thank you again for another ripping season. Highs and lows. That's football. Can't change what's happened. Top three in the Kaji. Hard to say. He's got Jezza, Baz, Holmes and Atkins all laying claim. Love to see Zuthri in the mix. He's become so dependable. And I'll leave you with a poem that sums 2025 up. Benny, if you pick it up early, finish it with me. It's easy to grin
When your ships come in and you've got the stock market beat.
But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile
when his shorts are too tight in the seat. And then he goes, do the honours, Pookie.
I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
I love he says, do the honours, Pookie. Spalding, no.
Get your foot off the boat. Adrian Mancini's from
Caddyshack. You scratched my anchor.
Adrian Mancini, bit of Mancini magic. Thanks for the year, Kingy and Cass. Top three, Kaji, Holmes, Jezza and Axe/Baz. Couldn't get going for long enough. Felt we didn't have the energy from the start and a lot of guys down. Played best mids in comp and it showed in hindsight. Stanley didn't work. No, Stewart hurt. Go Cats.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that.
Arngold, where does the improvement come from next year? Outside of the trade rumours, the Lions have a scary amount of talent on their list and look to be the team to beat for the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, Arngold, I was thinking exactly the same thing. Yeah. You look down that Will Ashcroft's a two-time Norm St. Bevilly's 21.
Yeah,
his brother's only 18. And the one you forget about quite quickly, but he played his 68th game on Saturday in the grand final is Jasper Fletcher. Mm. He's 21.
Yeah.
McCluggage is only about 28 or 7.
Yep.
Rayner, Bailey, Young. I mean, Rayner and Bailey.
Yeah. Oh, you said Young. I thought there was a bloke called Young.
No. Rayner and Bailey are still quite young. They're absolutely stocked the lines, and they're getting Oscar Allen and Sam Draper.
Yep.
Wow.
And they've got that Daniel Annable too who's coming.
Top three pick in the draft. He's going to the Lions as well.
So Levi Ashcroft, 18. Will Ashcroft, 21.
Yeah, this is depressing.
Zach Bailey, 26.
Yep.
Jasper Fletcher, 21. Ty Gallup will be something. He's only 19. Ky Loman, 22. Sam Marshall will be 20 by the time next season starts. McCluggage is 27. Logan Morris is only 20. Cam Rayner's not even 26. He turns 26 later in the month. Bruce Revel's only 24, 25. Starcevic is going, but look, Starcevic feels like he's been around forever. He's only 26.
He's going to West Coast.
Yeah. Wilmot, only 21.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. And then you've got Dane Zorko, who'll be 37 when next season starts.
Is he playing again?
He'll go on, yep.
Yeah.
He'll go on.
Yeah, it's frightening, King. It is frightening.
Kaji top three. I have
just on that, where is the improvement going to come from?
Yeah.
Where would you say?
Oh, I think it's the midfield. Yeah,
it's adding to the midfield.
Yeah.
It's hoping that players like Ajay Clark can take the next step.
Yep.
Nevitt. Yeah, Nevitt's another one. Can we get, you know, Connor O'Sullivan continues to develop.
Yeah. I think Polkinghorne will get a look at senior footy next year and add just another.
Yeah, well, you're not expecting development from him. It'd be nice if he gets a few games and gets
a Ollie Henry's
where are you going to get the development from the players who are there playing every week?
Well, Ollie Henry's the other one.
Yeah, we need Ollie Henry. He's one that could come out. My problem there, Kingy, is that, you know, they have an infatuation with Jack Martin.
Hmm.
You can't. Ollie Henry's not getting a game if Martin and Dangerfield are getting a game.
Yeah.
There's just not enough places for him.
Yeah.
The biggest bit of improvement that the Cats will get if they get him, because I think it has an opportunity not only for him to become another midfielder, but also the way what impact he has on other midfielders around him is getting Marshall in the ruck, getting a really good ruckman. Who can actually? I mean, Marshall's the type of ruckman who can touch the ball 20 to 25 times.
Yeah,
he's not a sort of a dinosaur that touches it six times.
Yeah,
he can actually get involved, but his ruck work as well. What impact does that have on the likes of Smith, Holmes, Atkins, Warple? Yep. You know, other players. I mean, and the other So I just reckon getting if they get Marshall. I know that's not development or improvement from within. That's from outsourced. But I think that would have a huge impact on the way the midfield operates.
Arngold also, how do we get rid of the music after the goals and Snoop Dogg before the game was terrible? I actually didn't mind Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. The old Snoopy. He if you've got your name on your tracksuit.
Yeah.
Would you ever adorn a tracksuit that just says Tom King on it?
No.
And the thing I did notice about the Snoop Dogg is that every sort of fourth line he just said Snoop Dogg or the dog. Yeah. He sung about himself a lot, which is, well, he wasn't really singing. He was crapping.
Rapping. The music after the game's never leaving.
And I'd love to, do you know what I would have loved to? The one of the funniest things on the day was when somebody actually on the Triple X sent in that did the Cats get into Snoop's stash at halftime?
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Cass, thanks for calling this year. Got bettered by the better team in the second half. Coach got our coach. Boys, what did Scotty mean? We had concern but didn't want to go into it. There was a couple. Don't think Dangerfield was 100%.
Well, he came off the ground about 5 minutes into the game, didn't he, and went down the race.
For an Edgar.
He did not.
I believe so.
He didn't.
Yeah.
No.
For an Edgar Britt.
At 5 minutes into a granny.
I think so.
That is not. If that has happened.
Might not have been something. Might not have sat well from dinner the night before or something.
So the adrenaline's pumping. The grand final's on. You're up forward. Oh, hang on, I don't need to have a shit.
That was what was being suggested. I don't know whether it's true.
That cannot be right.
No, it might not be. I don't know. Anyway,
so he didn't like read the Herald Sun in there. Did he? That's why he was off for so long. He
took his phone.
He took his blower in and was just doom scrolling on the shitter while his team were getting their pants pulled down.
Think as supporters we should know. Anyway, been a great year. Let's bring on pre-season. No, let's not bring on pre-season. I want a break. Marshall, still too raw to discuss, but Warple and Marshall should be good additions. Excited to add Jesse Mellor too.
Well, I don't know anything about him, Kingy, but
the NGA prospect. He walks playing along.
What position?
Very lively forward.
Smallish?
Mid-size.
When you say lively, as in?
He finds the footy and he can kick a goal.
In your mould of Zach Bailey?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. That's a fair, a little bit of manner.
Yeah. Is he a star for the Falcons?
Yeah. He made the team of the year this
year. Was he playing in that game on before the grand final?
No, because that was under 17s.
Right.
There's a kid that played in that who's not a lot linked to Geelong, but he's a Geelong Falcon kid called Jack Pickett from Torquay. He's going to be a gun.
So is this Mellor?
Yep.
Is he a bit of a will of the wisp type? Is he? No, is no, he, is he ever well genuine 18-year-old body? Or
yeah,
is he?
No, I think he's well put together.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're excited to get him.
Yep.
And he's the son of Greg, who coached at Richmond.
Yes, and coached Geelong West. Yep, and played 200 games of Sandful.
So can you explain to me how Geelong get him through an academy?
He was born in Thailand. So his parents were over there teaching, and he was born over there.
So how does that help us?
Because that makes him NGA because he's born overseas.
So we went to Thailand to get him, did we?
No, he lives here.
Right.
But he was born
there.
His parents were working over there, their teachers. And
then he was born there?
He was born there.
So they had some honkshy-wonkshy, that had a bit of hushmakundi.
Might have been here, and he's just been happened to be born over there.
So everything flew over there.
Yep.
And he was born over there.
Yeah, which makes him NGA.
So he came back and then lives here, and because he was born there, Geelong can say he's... So we're on the lookout for anybody. So what we need is people to go and have their children elsewhere and then come back to Geelong.
Well, you need a legitimate reason to have had them over there.
Other than trying to just bolster the back line.
Yeah, correct. Right. Fail says Atkins home in St. Jess. Can Tom Atkins win the BNF? So the BNF, I believe, is you get rated out of 10 every game. Yeah. You can get 0. You can get 10. There won't be many games where Atkins doesn't poll a vote.
No, he'll poll some votes. You would have thought Bailey Smith will win it.
Okay. Atkins, Holmes and Jezza from Premiers. Are we happy for Ollie Henry to linger in the two so Danger can go around at 36? Thanks for the year. Great work.
Yeah.
Well, Danger will go around again because he signed a two-year deal.
Yeah, and you're not going to... I mean, after what he did in that qualifying in the prelim, I just...
You're only doing that every 3 weeks. Or every
That's right. And you are, I think you're stunting the development of Ollie Henry. That's the problem. And getting Martin in certainly is, let's put it this way, Dangerfield's not going anywhere. Do they limit his role again next year? Probably. Mm. Do I want to see Ollie Henry pushing out and the Cats preferring to play Ollie Henry over Jack Martin? Mm. 100%.
Absolutely, yes.
But I don't know that is the case because they seem enamoured with Jack Martin.
Jazz, surely Tom Atkins is top three?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Marshall. It'd be Holmes, Smith and,
yep.
And Cameron.
Cameron, yep.
So who's the fifth?
Zach Guthrie.
Yeah, Zach Guthrie would...
You think O'Sullivan's going to poll...
He won't top five, but he will poll some votes. Yeah, he had a good season. I'm just trying to...
Blitz Arves.
You would have thought that Holmes, Smith, Cameron...
Oh, Ollie Dempsey.
And Atkins.
Ollie Dempsey's going to poll pretty well.
Yeah, those four are the top four.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fifth could be one of
Dempsey's
four or five blokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Marshall, where are we at with upcoming father sons? Where are the 20-plus incoming sons? So obviously Oscar Riccardi didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Boston Riccardi's not on any real watch list. Alfie Wojcinski's not.
He was in the twos, isn't he? Not Newtown.
Yeah. So these guys all went through the Falcons.
What about Moons' kids?
Jagger is bottom age.
Right.
Under 18.
Are they showing anything?
I think Jagger's shown a little bit. So we might see him talked about next year. But not like there's not huge. Like it's not like
they're getting rid of father son anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Rob J, we lost and I'm bitter and gutted. They are hard to win and you need everything to go right, especially being injury-free.
Yes.
Before the Hawks game, we were cherry ripe by halftime and in the GF. No Stewart with concussion. Henry not 100% with his foot. Cameron broken arm. Danger did something as he couldn't move after coming back from the rooms. How quickly luck can desert you. Don't really congratulate Brisbane, even though you should. You just stew on what went wrong. Thanks for the therapy session.
Well, I did stew on it, King. I've stewed on it. And it was just...
Have you?
Yeah, it's just frustrating. It's so frustrating that you know, the team works so hard all year to put themselves in a position to do that, and then every layer, you know, lets itself down on the day. It's hard to fathom that's possible, but that's exactly what happened. I reckon they just got it wrong on every level, and that comes down to the players. You know, some of those players, we ran through them. We probably found five who played okay.
Yep.
17 who had below what you would consider below par games
just
at varying levels.
My partner, who is an AFL newbie, asks, how do you dominate this team 2 weeks ago and then do jack all in the grand final? Yeah. Cannot explain. Simply help losing a Cats supporter before she started.
Well, I think it comes down to a bit of belief, a bit of system, and... You know, they just rose to the occasion.
Yep.
They rose as the tougher the game got, the level of their play increased and the level of the Cats' play decreased. Yep. And once they broke it open, once they broke Geelong's back, they broke it really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And Geelong was disappointed to see Geelong fold in the fashion that they did in that last quarter after the work that they put in all year to have goals sailing through like that was really, that was a really bittersweet. I mean, you can lose a grand final and you can lose in the fashion Geelong did, and the fashion Geelong did isn't the way you want to go out. And it was just such a bitter. I mean, I'm a realistic supporter. Geelong lose. I don't lose my shit. I'm not going to jump off a bridge. I was just so disappointed with the way that game unfolded in the end, and the way that they just basically gave up. It was such a disappointing end to what was up to that point a really good year.
Khan Catters off the Big Footy Forum. Sincere thanks for another highly entertaining year of oral goodness. Trying to reflect on the season after the devastation of Saturday, I thought of a quote from a cattle farmer. When asked if he felt bad sending his cattle off to the abattoir, he replied, "Not at all. My cattle live a wonderful life of enjoyment on my farm, followed by one really shit day." For me, that sums up the season. Yes, it all ended with one really shit day, but overall, I've got to say it's been enjoyable. This podcast is a big part of that for me. When we win, it's nice to relive through your review. When we lose, your analysis helps me put it to bed and move on. Hoping this one, last one for the season, assists with that. Fizz happily and responsibly in the off season. Bring on 2026.
Yes, we'll it'll take me another week to get over Saturday. Just thinking about why did this happen, why did that happen? But yeah, you move on.
You need a Blackman's Benny.
Yeah, I do. I need more than one Kingy. I need to shotgun a couple. You know, the old when you just put the hole in it and you just launch it. I need to do a couple bit of that and. I need some other therapy, Kingy.
Yes. Anyway, Anth Christian, first of all, thanks to K-Rock for a marvellous year. I'm grateful for the community you all enable us to feel part of. I went to all our finals matches and Saturday looked like a completely different Geelong team. According to Champion data, Geelong over the whole season 2025, number one for points differential in time on, scoring plus 422. The second place was the Bulldogs 166. This demonstrated Geelong's capacity to outrun opponents was far superior than all other teams. Chris Scott alluded to things known and unknown that accounted for their poor performance on Saturday. Any ideas to what he was referring to? I'm struggling to understand how they could possibly lose their fitness in 7 days.
No, well, do you know what he was referring to?
No idea.
No, I've got no idea. That was the other thing too, though. I mean, I thought we're a really good running team. Our capacity, endurance capacity is huge. That's why I thought, well, okay, well, this has been a grind to this 2.5 quarters. It's going to be, in the end, we're going to be able to outgrind them because we actually do finish off. And it was so the reverse. And the other thing, thinking, is it, you just wonder, I mean, as I mentioned a few times, the position the Cats had themselves in on Saturday is not, you don't get that very often in footy. And all these other teams, the improvement in them, you can sort of see it. You can say, well, Gold Coast are just going to keep improving. Adelaide are looking to add guns. They're going to keep improving. They'll be better for those two finals where they got pancaked, but they'll be better for that. They're quite young. Brisbane are young. They're not going away anywhere. Who else have we got? You can expect to see probably, you know, Sydney jump back up again. Some of the rivals, Hawthorn, they're young. Their improvement, you can just sort of see natural progression. You see it with a small bandage along players, but not the whole group.
Yep.
So how does that play out against in terms of charting it against the improvement of the arrivals? And, you know, you'd have to think. That's why I sort of thought such a golden opportunity missed on Saturday that, you know, can the Cats get themselves back into that position? And, you know, it's going to be really, really tough with what these other clubs are able to do in terms of their... I mean, if Gold Coast end up getting Curnow, I mean, that just makes them such a such a weapon. And that they are a young team, Gold Coast. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yep. Foxdog 50, so about that grand final, if anyone needs me, I'll be emotionally curled up in the fetal position watching 2022 highlights on repeat. Seriously, I got a few burning questions. Yes, in an angry way and passionately confused. Patrick Dangerfield, don't take this the wrong way. He's been one of the greats to play for Geelong as our captain. I was disappointed in his game on Saturday. Look, I wasn't expecting him to play in the way he did against Hawthorn. The way he played was incredible, but I thought he could have shown something of what he's known for. As our captain, this is a game as a captain. You have to show why you were picked as captain. You have to show all of your teammates when the going gets tough. You bring those players up to your level. 10 disposals in the biggest game of the year. I was sadly disappointed in his game. Yes, he's 35, and we shouldn't have to rely on what he does in his prime, what he did in his prime. But when you take the captain badge, you have to show something. We think there was something not completely 100% with the skipper.
Well, you'd hope. Well, you don't hope so, but it would at least explain why he was absolutely non-existent. Yeah. What do you have? 10 possessions.
Yeah.
4 kicks.
Yep.
Four kicks.
Yeah.
For the day, one of them went out in the full.
Correct. I'm sure you'll discuss why they kept playing Cameron in the sub off of Stanley instead. Yes.
Yeah, we don't understand why.
Why would we put in an injured player in Martin as a sub when we could have had Neville or Buse or Henry? It goes all against what we did in 2022 and not playing Holmes when there was talk Holmes could have played in 22 but went against us. It was too much of a risk to play Holmes. I don't think Martin was injured.
No, I don't think Jack Martin was injured.
No, not that I'm aware of. But anyway, but I still bleed blue and white. Don't get me wrong, still love this team, still proud of the season, still telling my non-Geelong mates to pipe down while they Google what finals footy is. We had a golden era, and yeah, not every season ends in silverware, but that grand final is going to haunt me longer than Benny Cass's quest for a permanent stick-on tattoo. You know, the same bloke who still hasn't followed through on getting Chris Scott's face tattooed on his butt cheek, despite swearing it was definitely happening back in 2022.
Well, I won't be doing it after Saturday.
Last but not least, thank you, Carrock team. You're absolute legends. Your podcast is therapy for Cats fans. Your game calls electric. If I can't sync your commentary to the TV, I might as well watch with my eyes closed. Keep doing what you do. You're part of the Geelong experience. I'd rather listen to your commentary than win a meat tray at the local pub, and that's saying something. Catch you next season. I'll be one in the corner yelling at a replay like it just happened. Fox Dog 50. He's BNF, Holmes, Smith and Atkins will be the podium.
I think that's probably on the money.
Out of 28, I all could have handled losing if we'd fired our best shot, but we didn't. I think that's the worst part. Many questions, but I'll fire off a few. As you know, as I know, you'll have a lot to get through. Dangerfield spent the day doing nothing up forward. Why on earth was Cameron left on the field with a broken arm? We have talked to those. Did you find Max Holmes was weird? Max Holmes during the week said that part of him wished the Cats lost in 22. I can't blame him. That really came off in bad taste. Yeah, I thought that was a bit bizarre to come out and say that.
Who was that?
Max Holmes came out. I think he might have spoken to our mate Lauren Wood for an article last week and said that when he missed in 2022, he had that little inside going, I hope we lose, which is,
Oh, I think every player.
I know what you mean.
I think every player sort of thinks that.
Yeah.
I think that's just a natural feeling, King. It's not an overwhelming emotion. It's just that, if we don't win it when I'm not there.
Yeah.
And then we can have a crack next year when I am there. I think that happens with every player at every level of footy.
Howl of 41, I'm flat as a pancake. The Cats win over Brisbane in the first final gave me hope, which disappeared late in the third quarter. Easy to say now, but Reece over Jed was an error. Yes. To have no injuries all year, then lose the best interceptor in the prelim, and then Jezza breaking his arm in the GF made life very difficult. Don't know if we win if they don't get injured, but they would have helped. Moving forward, it's obvious we need more midfield help. Marshall and Warple would help, but we lack mids with good foot skills. Did allude to that earlier. Warple isn't.
And we don't have depth in the midfield.
No, can't keep throwing Paddy back in the middle as a break in case of emergency. Hopefully a couple of younger players have big pre-seasons. Jesse Mellor can become Jimmy Bartel and we try again. Top three, Holmes, Jezza and Atkins. Thanks again for the year. The podcast keeps me from wanting a frontal lobotomy. And no doubt in the off-season, Kingy stress levels drop.
Yes.
They do. They go down. I'm going to get my blood pressure checked as of next week and it is copious amounts lower, knowing I don't have to deal with you for a while.
No, well, that's not very nice, Tom.
On this podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, we've had some fun. I've sometimes, I need therapy too, Tom. Do you know what my therapy is?
No, right. The Ranger. Thank you,
not what you're thinking.
Thank you for all you do across the season. Thank you, Carrick, for providing an alternative to the rubbish and overdramatic commentary on the main channels. It's refreshing to listen to a call where you're not trying to be on the soundbite for every goal or happenings in a game. Saturday will hurt for some time. Being beaten when we play well, I could live with, but not playing anywhere near our best. It will take some time. With emotion still high, I won't lambast players, the coach, or match selection. That's footy. In the words of Mike Brady, there are days when you can give it up. There are days when you can fly. I was surprised to see some negative comments about Snoop's pre-game. It's not my music. I have hemier or similar taste to you, gents. I can't say I enjoyed it. I sat down for most, but I think it was well done with the marching band theme and the crowd seemed to get into it. Yeah. I was amused at the crowd gasp with the few flames and thought they needed to experience a Ramstein stadium concert.
Yeah, well, that'd be out of control.
Onto the Geelong AFLW.
Ramstein are pretty heavy duty.
Onto the Geelong AFLW.
I agree with all that, though. Yeah. Like, I did anyway, vented about the selection. But I suppose that's what we have to do on this podcast. There's no point in coming in and saying we're not going to say anything about it. But to have that mindset, Kingy, and open-mindedness about things is fantastic. And, yeah, I mean, look, the sun will come up tomorrow. At my age, Kingy, you'd think, are we going to win another one? And I've seen those, the four, so it's not like I'm going missing, or missing out, I should say, but it's, you just sort of think, God, it was such an opportunity missed. I mean, if we went in there as a 5-1 outsider and we got beaten, you'd say, well, okay, how good was it to get there? Yeah. But we were the hot favourites. We had everything in our favour and we fluffed our lines, Kingy. Yep. Fluffed our lines.
Wildcat 14.
You ever fluffed a line?
Thanks for your coverage throughout the season. Great to have a cat-centric place for discussion and insights and some deleted jokes from Ben during the year. With regard to our off-season recruiting, whilst Marshall would be a welcome addition to a perennial weak spot for our team, and Kerno would be an amazing asset, I can't help think the contested ball winning bigger body clearance guns are what we are missing. Smith and Holmes are great with their tireless running. Atkins is a warrior, but we lack bigger, hardened bodies around the ball. While modern footy is more focused on a turnover game, the last 35 minutes or so of the grand final showed that winning contested ball and clearances is still critical in big finals. True. Danger is still amazing at times, including the prelim, but we can't expect him to carry the midfield in the twilight of his career. No. Can't also expect anything from Cam Guthrie anymore. And while Warple will be a solid addition, he can't bridge the gap on his own when competing with the likes of Lachie Neal, Dunkley, Ashcroft, McCluggage, et al. No. Brisbane.
And Warple is a foot soldier. He's Tom Atkins with a bit more zip.
Yep.
He's a good player. You've got to have players like James Warple, but he's not a game turning midfielder. He will help the wheels turn in the midfield, but I don't think Cat fans should be getting wrapped up in that Warple's going to come in and start kicking goals, and he's not really a goal kicker.
Yep.
He can win you a clearance and he's tough and his skills aren't great. He's not the most skillful player, but he's another body in the midfield who can get it 20, 25 times.
Butters would be great in 12 months' time. That there's no doubt there will be a queue of clubs in line for him. We don't seem to have much else on the horizon to bridge the midfield gap. Oh, how I pine for the days when we could rotate Bartel, Selwood, Corey, Chapman, Ablett, etc. through the midfield.
Yeah, and leave out Ling, Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, they had guns at either end of the ground, but that team just papered over anything, that midfield.
Absolutely. We're done.
Yeah, well done, King. Are we going again after the time or not?
Might do it after trade period.
Yeah.
If you're happy to do that.
Yeah, look, I'm always happy, Kingy.
All right.
I'll have calmed down by then.
I hope so. Goodbye, Ben.
Bye.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.